Aloha and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Many of us in today's America feel that our civil rights are under siege. History has shown us that freedom, even in a country that is still seen by many as a beacon to the world, is fragile. The American Civil Liberties Union is at the front lines protecting those freedoms, but its mission is often misunderstood. The ACLU is preparing a community symposium on our rights and how to protect them. Kit Grant is Deputy Director of the ACLU of Hawaii, and she's with us in our studio. Good morning, Kit.
Hi, Chris. Really nice to be here. Thank you so much.
It's good to have you here. I have to say, I think that in the minds of many in America, the ACLU is somewhat misunderstood. Do you agree?
You know, in some ways, the ACLU is more visible now than we have been before, and mm-hmm. I think a lot of that has to do with the context of the times, you know, that we have a president who campaigned on unconstitutional promises, who's now trying to turn those into unconstitutional policy. Mm-hmm. And so I think there are a lot of folks who are maybe newer to what the ACLU does, but also hopeful that we can help, you know, act as a firebreak to some of these, literal attacks on things like immigration, women's rights, free speech, etc. At the same time, sometimes the work that we do has a controversial aspect, and when we defend, for instance, the free speech of people with wildly unpopular ideas, sometimes people conflate that with us supporting the message. And the fact is that if we don't operate in a fairly content neutral way, I mean, mm-hmm. we can have an opinion about and also be working against the issue that someone is speaking about. But we believe that it's really important that everyone
that they speak
has their say, has their ability to speak, and that the government is not shutting anybody down. So in that sense, sometimes it can get a little like a juggling act.
Yeah,
you know, like which hat are we wearing? Is it our racial justice hat? Is it our free speech hat? But we believe that we can wear both of those hats at the same time, and that it's important. The core fundamental reason why we protect free speech, which is probably some of the most controversial territory that we get into, is the core. It's literally the core of our mission. It's first for a reason.
We might not like the fact that a neo-Nazi or a white supremacist wants to speak, but he or she has a right to.
It's absolutely abhorrent speech, but when you let the government get into the business of determining who can speak, when, for how long, how loudly, where, then eventually those limitations will apply to speech that you do like. And that's why it's important to us to make sure that we are that firebreak. We're the rock on which the water breaks.
A lot of countries lose the rights that their people have and lose them somewhat voluntarily, or lose them by virtue of elections, by virtue of choices made by the people themselves. Why would people give up rights? And then yet it happens, right?
It's a head scratcher. So I think the two areas where that come to mind when we talk about this are free speech and also privacy. Mm-hmm. The ACLU is also like a big, you know, privacy advocate, and we work against government surveillance. And what we find is that sometimes people have these ideas that somehow their free speech will be protected even if they're shutting down someone else's free speech, which is definitely not historically been the case. But also with regards to privacy, people feel that they're so exposed in this modern world, and the government has so many secret back doors and tracking devices, and the police are even locally often using surveillance technology without any oversight by us, that I think you get a little weary, like beaten down, like you think, well, there is no privacy, therefore I don't need to worry about privacy. Mm-hmm. So there can be that kind of fatigue aspect of it, I mm-hmm. think. And also then there can be this just gut reaction to the obnoxiousness of someone else's speech and saying, like, you should really not be able to say that mm-hmm. out loud. And so between those things, I think, you know, sometimes people are willing. We gave up a lot, you know, with the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
That, you know, some of those provisions have just sunsetted. For instance, the government had the ability to get your everything you loaned out at your local library was expected to be turned over to the government without a warrant. Your ISP or your internet service provider, mm-hmm. If they got one of these, like what they called, NSL warrant, mm-hmm. They weren't allowed to tell you that the government was subpoenaing all of your the IP addresses you visited, the websites you visited, etc. So we challenged these things in court with some brave librarians and some brave ISPs, and we managed to get those modified, and then eventually they sunsetted. But these are the types of attacks that are occurring, and it's usually a response to fear.
Yeah, I was going to say a response to some threat, and that's how you give up your rights.
Yeah.
We're in danger, national security, time for us to, you know, cool the free speech for a while.
Yeah.
And then you never get it back.
And that's not, you know, the thing is that it's not unconstitutional or without precedent for the government to curtail some rights in the course of an emergency. Organizations like the ACLU, though, are very watchful to make sure that these are extremely narrowly tailored and, mm-hmm. and that they have a short time span, as short as humanly possible.
How does one educate the community? How does the ACLU go about reaching people and you know, clarifying its message, clarifying to people what their rights are, how to get them, how to protect them?
So, you know, like all organizations, we have a pretty broad online presence, but we also feel that a lot of times the best way to learn about your rights and to strengthen them is to really, like, talk about them, like, kick the tires on these ideas of free speech, of, you know, of privacy, of, you know, how do we envision our policing to work? How does our community want jail and parole and bail to work? How does our society and our community want Hawaii to be welcoming to immigrants and refugees?
Yeah.
These are some of they're heavy questions, you know, and they really don't lend themselves so well to sound bites. And sometimes we convene things like our civil liberties symposiums to really just get people together to, you know, we'll have a few experts there, but we're not there to lecture. Like, we're really there to listen, like, mm-hmm. what's going on in your community, Hilo, about immigration, what's going on in your community, Honolulu, about like building a new jail and getting a new police chief. You know, how can we build civil liberties into these changes that are happening around us and into our communities?
One of the things that you folks have pointed out is that crime rates are going down and incarceration is staying the same, even going up? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, crime rates are at historic lows. And we just keep locking up more and more people. And it's not sustainable. We have actually a complaint in with the Department of Justice over the abhorrent, highly overcrowded conditions in all of Hawaii's jails and prisons.
With what anticipated results? I mean,
this is something that's been going. It's sort of like a pendulum that swings back and forth, usually ending up with us having to file a lawsuit, and then the state being under federal guardianship for a while, and then cleaning up its act, and then it gets worse again. So we're hoping to try to break that cycle. We've seen it happen over the last 30 years, up and down, boom and bust, spear case. There's a bunch of cases. But we're hoping that if we change how we think about incarceration, we could break that cycle.
Usually takes a change in consciousness, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes, group consciousness, yes.
Thanks very much, Kit. Mm-hmm. Kit Grant is Deputy Director of the ACLU of Hawaii. She's been on staff since 2006. The organization is hosting a couple of civil liberties symposia, first on October 7th at 1 p.m. at the UH Hilo campus, then on October 28th at the Blaisdell Center, starting at noon.
Support for The Conversation comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Inter Island Solar Supply, Kaiser Permanente, and Hastings and Pleadwell, a communication company.